Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be in church?
Yeah.
Isn't it great to be in a place where people care for one another?
Yeah.
And we can pray for one another, especially those who are suffering. We bless you in Jesus' name. Pray God will comfort your hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The word the Lord gave me this morning was King of Kings and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it sounds like I got that one right. Okay. Just like to pray before I share. Thank you, Father, for your amazing love, for sending Jesus to us to rescue us from our sins, to bring us into new life with you, to open our eyes to see who you are and Lord, what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. We only see through a glass darkly at the moment, but one day we shall see and we shall know even as we are known. Lord, thank you. But thank you. In the meantime, we can look into your precious word and discover treasures there for us today. So we thank you, Lord, and just give this time to you now. Ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into all our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 15 it says, in the light of the king's countenance there is life, and his favour is like a cloud of rain. In the light of the king's countenance there is life. We want Jesus to shine on us, don't we? We want God to reveal himself to us in all the loveliness of himself, and to me this morning has been like Jesus's face has been shining on us as we've been meeting together, and glory to his wonderful name. I'm actually going to start in Isaiah chapter 32, Isaiah 32, and just the first few verses. Isaiah 32, 1 to 3. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. And then 33, talking about those who walk righteously, that their place, this is 16 and 17, he will dwell on high. This is the person who trusts in the Lord. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, his water will be sure. What more do we need? A place of protection, a place of provision. A place of plenty. Oh, there's a sermon to start with, isn't it? Okay. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. Okay, so Isaiah, bless his name. God reveals so much to him, and today we'll just look at a little at what God showed him and see if we can learn something through that revelation. So in this first verse of this chapter, behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Now this is a great word to Isaiah. Isaiah lived under the reigns of several kings. In Isaiah 1:1, it says he lived in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, who were kings of Judah. Now some of them were good, some of them were mediocre, and one was incredibly bad. So those are the kings that he lived under. Ahaz was the incredibly bad king. Uzziah started well and went really well till almost the end, and then he decided he was more important than the priests of the Lord and went into the temple to burn incense, and God had to show him that he wasn't that important. Hezekiah, good king. Things happened in the reigns of those kings, and Isaiah saw some immense victories of the Lord, but here was a word that was very special. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Jesus. It has to be Jesus because Isaiah saw the King. If we go to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Around it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. In the year that King Uzziah died, when God took someone out of Isaiah's line of sight, as God sometimes does in our Christian walk, I always remember when I was a young Christian, I had a very precious brother in the Lord who I learned a great deal from, and then God called him to be a missionary in India, and then I saw him once more after that. God took him out of my line of sight so that I could learn things for myself, because I knew, looking back, I was leaning too hard on him. And God had to remove him to another place, to a wonderful place of service, and help me to grow in the Lord by that removal. And we still kept in touch, but in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. In John chapter 12, and we'll go to John 12 a few times, John refers to prophecy of Isaiah, and this is 39 and 40, and then verse 41 he says this, These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory, that is the glory of Christ, and spoke of him. John 12:41. Isaiah prophesied when he saw the glory of Christ and he spoke of him. Okay, so there we are. Isaiah 6 has the prophecy that John quotes in 12:40. It's the same chapter, it's the same occasion, it's the same Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the King, the Lord of hosts, sitting on a throne. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. You know, throughout the Old Testament, God builds up a picture of his King, his righteous King, who is coming to earth to reign. And through the prophets, we get this picture built up for us. So Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. So this coming king would be a descendant of David. He would come out of a stump because it looked like David's line was cut off. But then a branch would grow out of its stump. You know, sometimes you go down the dale and you see a tree that's being cut down. Not many, thankfully. Or one that's fallen. And a branch is growing out. Always remember on the first time that Ruth and I went to Cambodia, someone took us to the killing fields south of Phnom Penh, one particular place. And there was a tree there, and there was a dead branch on the left and a dead branch on the right, and growing up through the middle was a completely new one, fresh and green. And he just spoke to me so much of what God was doing in the church in Cambodia. During the time of the Khmer Rouge, it looked as though the church had been completely wiped out. But it wasn't. There were believers. I was talking to Martin and Sue and Lily yesterday. In that same visit, 1991, we met an elderly lady in her 70s, well into her 70s. And she had survived the Khmer Rouge time. She was a Christian at that time and she had four sons. And they survived. And they are all serving the Lord in the church, Cambodian church today. One of them is the president of the Cambodian Association of Evangelical Churches. At the time we spoke to her, there were approximately 1,000 believers in the whole of Cambodia. Today there are over 200,000 believers in the country of Cambodia. The branch grows up and produces immense fruit. No, and then the branch is Jesus. The branch is Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, don't ever be disappointed. William Carey said, never despise the teaching of one convert. He said that to his son who was going as a missionary to Burma. He said, never despise the teaching of one convert, because that one person can reach a huge amount of people for the Lord. So here was this branch of righteousness. A king, Jeremiah 23:5, a king shall reign and prosper. He will bear fruit. He will produce an immense amount of fruit. And this is Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Let's go on to Daniel chapter 7. Another revelation of Jesus. And this time Daniel sees the Lord on the throne. Daniel 7:13-14. The picture is building. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like a son of man. So this king who is coming is one like a son of man. And we know that's one of the main titles that the Lord used of himself. Rather than the personal pronoun I, which he did occasionally use, he called himself the son of man. And here is where that scripture is found. It is in other places, but this is the one that most applies to him. One like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful news? The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, will never pass away. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. What we are in, if you love Jesus today, you are in Jesus' kingdom. If Jesus is ruling in your heart today, you are in Jesus' kingdom. And the kingdom you are in will never pass away. Glory to God, hallelujah. So you will never pass away. You will be with him in glory. We will be with him in glory in the everlasting song and the everlasting worship meeting. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. Anyway, hallelujah. So God then was given to him dominion and glory, and that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. Do you remember what it says? Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Okay, we're having to travel around the Bible today. Okay. Hope you don't mind that. We'll settle down somewhere before too long. All right, Psalm 2. And the nations are in an uproar. They're all raging, okay? Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against his Messiah, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Then he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Paul quotes that when he's speaking of the resurrection of Christ. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. Hallelujah. So God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive today, and we can worship him here today. He is amongst us, and the nations are his possession. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? When the presence of God comes to the people of God, things begin to happen. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Jesus is the king of the earth, and he always will be. On the renewed earth, he will be the king over all, without any opposition. We live in a day when the opposition, the opposing forces, are very strong. And Jesus knew that when he came. He came from heaven to save us. And he came into a world where he knew he would have to suffer. It was written in the scriptures long before he came, through Isaiah chapter 53. We esteemed him stricken of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. It was prophesied in the scriptures. As the scriptures about the coming king talked of the one who would reign, so the scriptures talked of the one who would also suffer. Okay, so we'll go to Zechariah. Zechariah is almost at the end of the Old Testament, and he spoke of the king who was coming. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Let's go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. You see how the scriptures tie together. They are one coherent whole. And we read this in John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. There's two amazing things there. One is that the king should come, that the king should come, be revealed as the Son of Man, that God should step down from heaven, lay aside his majesty, lay aside his rights, his privileges to receive worship from the whole of humanity. He laid aside all that to be born as a human baby, the weakest thing in all creation, and then he lived an ordinary life for 30 years. That's an amazing fact. Jesus was an ordinary man. If you and I had lived in Nazareth when Jesus was alive, we'd say, oh look, there's a carpenter. Oh, I need a job fixing. My front door's falling off its hinges. I better call the carpenter. Phil, would you come and fix my front door, please? And they'd go to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you come and fix my front door, please? And they wouldn't sort of look at him and think, oh, there's the Son of God. He was ordinary, just like you and me. He was an ordinary man, and he did an ordinary job in a human body like ours, and he was fully man, and he was at the same time fully God. And he came in all humility. Fear not, daughter of Zion. We don't need to be afraid of our king. He's not coming in wrath, he's coming to save us. He's not coming to tell us how bad we are. We know how bad we are. He knows how bad we are. He's coming to rescue us out of our badness. Hallelujah. And he came. He came riding on a donkey, and they shouted, the King of Israel. Let's go on a little bit further, and we'll go on to John. It's still in John, and see his interview with the political power of the day, John chapter 18. And Jesus was facing the political might of the Roman Empire, and he's having an interview with the governor, Pontius Pilate, and it's in great detail. We won't go into all the detail, and Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And 34. Jesus answered him, this is 18:34. Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate, who was the consummate politician of his day and that system, said to him, what is truth? Very cynical comment, especially when you read what follows. So Jesus said, I came into this world to bear witness to the truth. And Paul writes to Timothy, he said, Jesus Christ, witness the good confession before Pontius Pilate. And I want to say this, the church is here to witness the good confession. Why are we in the world? Why has Jesus not taken us up to be with himself immediately that we believe in him? Well, because Jesus wants us to bear witness to the truth. If we have heard his voice and we know the voice of the shepherd calling us out of the ways of this world, out of our sin, out of our darkness and into his marvelous light, then he wants us to bear that truth to all and sundry and to stand witness to the truth of the scriptures as it is revealed to us, which has been challenged from the day that the scriptures were given by God to mankind. From that day till now, the challenge has been great, and it's never been greater than in our day. The challenge to the word, to believe the word of God and to trust him, as we heard in that word of prophecy early on in our meeting, to trust him is to trust his word, to believe that what God says to us is the truth, and if we believe the truth in our hearts, we will be saved. We will be saved from our sin, we will be saved from hell, we will be saved from the power of the devil. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And Jesus came to do that by the offering of his own life on the tree of Calvary, where he gave himself for us. He gave himself for us. Bless his wonderful name. Okay, so here we are. We are to stand for the truth in the face of political power. All right. If political power is used to try and silence the church's voice, we must stand and bear witness to the truth. No, this is what the word, you say that, but the word of God says this. And that's where the dividing line comes. And we have to face it in our ordinary jobs, don't we? The dividing line comes. Somebody says to us, what, you believe in Jesus? You believe in the Bible? Why do you believe all that stuff? In a tone of contempt and derision. And we can either say, or we can say, yes, I do believe, and this is the reason why, with grace. And we do our ordinary job and we bear witness in the ordinary job God has given to us to do, to the glory of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 says this, you don't need to turn to it. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In your job, in your work, whatever establishment, in your home, in your community, you serve the Lord Christ. Therefore, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Lord, I offer you, I'm making a batch of dough. Lord, I offer this to you. Lord, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm working with my hands today. I offer it to you. Lord, I need to think carefully about this problem that affects my business. Lord, I offer it to you. Please give me your wisdom. And Jesus will do that. Glory to his wonderful name. You know, there's some wonderful stuff in the Old Testament. We won't go to it today. But if anybody wants to jot down Leviticus 23, you'll find there the feasts of the Lord are given for us. And there is the Passover, the offering of the lamb. And then there is the waving of the sheaf of wheat, the first fruits of the harvest. And Colossians tells us Christ is the first fruits from the dead. the first fruits from the dead, the first man who was raised in righteousness because he had no sin, the first man who God could say of this man, I approve completely of this man. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he was not only a man, he was God in human form. Hallelujah, come down to save us. Blessed be his wonderful name. And he saves people of every nation, of every generation, of every language, of every tongue. That's a wonderful thing. It's a really wonderful thing. You know, that when Jesus wants to reach people, and he does it through people like you and me, through ordinary people like you and me, and he might send us to the ends of the earth, or he might keep us right in Pensby or on the Wirral, but he does it so that we can be his witnesses. You shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit coming on you, and you shall be my witnesses, says the Lord. The Lord said that in Acts just before he ascended to heaven. And then 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came down and filled the hearts of the disciples. And then they found they had the ability to stand up and be counted and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm one of his. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's my glory, in fact, that my Saviour should give himself for me. Me, an ordinary bloke. Me, an ordinary person. Jesus came for me and gave himself for me. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. The Church of God is his witness. Now, he is the King who came in all humility. And that's how we live. We must live in all humility towards other people. Not thinking that we're somebody great just because we have a great king. That day will come. But right now in this life we live as ordinary people doing an ordinary job. Living a humble life and trying to share the bread that we've found because we're all beggars. We're all beggars looking for bread. And some of us have found it. And all we're doing is going to other people and say, look, we know where there's bread. You know, we got a bird feeder on the back patio, and this time of year, of course, there are dozens of birds that come, mainly sparrows, and a few goldfinches, and sometimes you can hear a single bird chirping away, and you know that he's telling the rest, there is food here, come and find it. And, well, that's what I believe anyway, okay. So anyway, and they all come, you know. And the little ones are twiddling their wings, you know, they kind of shiver and wait for, with their mouth open, beak open, waiting to receive the food. And here we are, ready to share the bread that God has given to us. Why? Because our King is the King of love. And he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has come to live in us. Hallelujah. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Is the compelling love of Christ in your heart today? Because if that love is in your heart, it has to flow out. It has to. It's the love of Christ. It's the love of God for Jesus. Okay, so when we worship Jesus, we worship in the love of God. And then we go out into the world and then his love flows out of us in simple acts and words of kindness to people who we meet along the way, whoever they are, wherever they may be. And whoever the Lord puts on your heart, a particular man on my heart, he lives in a tent in the shadow of the Anglican Cathedral in Liverpool. He's in his 40s and he's lived there for years. And he doesn't know Jesus yet, but he comes to Steps of Hope and we're praying for him. If you want to pray for him, his name is Barry. Okay. Yeah. So, I want to come to an end now. The love of Christ, the King, our King is a King of love. He's come to reign in our hearts with his amazing love, to tell us that we are loved of him, and to send us out in that love to tell others of him. He wants to reign over our hearts in that love so that it dispels everything that is not in accordance with his will for our lives. And the Holy Spirit works in us. Somebody prayed it earlier. God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's the King on the throne who's at work in us. That great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant has rescued us from sin and made a way where we can come to him. So, hallelujah. If you've never watched it, there's a video on YouTube called Food Court Flash Mob Singing the Hallelujah Chorus. If you've never watched it, I encourage you to watch it. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That comes twice in the scriptures when Timothy says, Jesus witnessed a good confession and now he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then in Revelation 19, he's coming again, and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I want us to finish with a song, which is a beautiful worship song called The King of Love is My Delight. Okay? And if you want to respond in your heart to the Lord, please stand and just sing this song to the Lord as your answer to him. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, here am I. I love you. Lord, here am I. Receive my life. Lord Jesus, be my King of Love.